Friends, turn with me to this wonderful psalm, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and friends, as you know, over the past number of weeks, I have been trying to show you the different names of Jehovah, which is the name of God, and the names of Jehovah, and related to the fact that these are the names of Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior, and they are shown in the Bible. We saw the name of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. We saw the name of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord will heal. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Now I want to turn with you to Psalm 23. The Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Ra'ah it is. Ra'ah. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord my shepherd. This is a name that the Lord reveals to David, the psalmist, that our Savior, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, is our shepherd. Throughout the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, is shown to us as that shepherd. I know that to be able to say to our own soul and from our own soul, the Lord is my shepherd, a personal Savior and personal shepherd. As the shepherd, friends, then he compares people with sheep. And we hear Jesus Christ in the gospel say that my sheep hear my voice. Now, for some people, that is quite an offensive thing to be called an animal's name and not some great animal, but a weak animal like sheep. You see, God could have compared Christians to anything in the world if he wanted to. He could have said, my people are like bears. My people are like lions. My people are like eagles. They are strong. They are mighty. They are fast. They are courageous. They are fearless. They are brave. He could have said, my people are like foxes because they are wise and shrewd. He could have even said, my people are like doves because they are so peaceful and meek. Instead, when God describes people, especially his people, he calls them sheep. And I'm sure you know what sheep are like, don't you? Sheep are not the brightest of animals. In fact, they have a reputation for being quite stupid. They are dumb and they are defenseless. They need a shepherd to care for them. They need a shepherd to protect them. They require someone who will look after their smallest needs and who will lead them to where they need to be. And when God calls us sheep, it may be less than flattering, but it is right on target. Sheep are so needy, yes, but there is a shepherd who knows them and who is there for them. There are people who are wandering in their life. Maybe that is you. You're wandering about aimlessly, really not sure what you're doing. You don't know about your plans and you have made so many mistakes. You have got yourself into difficulties. You've fallen into ditches, as sheep do, without hope, without guide, unsure of what is going to happen to you. Yet God is the one who knows us. He knows even those who are lost. The prophet Isaiah speaks about the whole humanity is like sheep gone astray. We've gone and done our own thing. We've gone our own way. And yet God knows the sheep. He knows the weak sheep. He knows every soul who has ever lived. And so if you ever come to understand that, then being called a sheep isn't such a bad thing after all. And so this psalm allows us to a sort of a glimpse into the unique relationship between the heavenly shepherd and his human sheep, Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord my shepherd. It is a good thing this morning for us to humble ourselves and say, with all the wonderful things you think of yourself, you see yourself as a sinful man or woman, boy or girl, and say, I am just like a sheep, so weak. But then move from that and say, but there is a shepherd, a good shepherd for my soul. There are three things I want to say to you this morning in the time that we have. First of all, Jesus, the shepherd and the Christian, verses 1 through 2, 4. And then secondly, the shepherd's food and protection, verse 5. And then thirdly, the life of the sheep, verse 6. So first of all, we want to think about Jesus Christ, the shepherd and the Christian. You see, this is a very personal psalm. The psalmist says, right at the beginning, the Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd. We need to know God personally. It's not good enough to say, well, I've been brought up in a Christian home. I go to church. That doesn't make a person a true Christian. It's not enough to say, I read my Bible. The Pharisees did that. The devil knows his Bible as well. There needs to be that relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. You see, David is here showing that this his relationship with the heavenly shepherd, God, is very close and it is very personal. David believes that there is a Lord, the Lord God, heaven of heaven and earth, the Lord who has made everything in this world. He believes that there is God. The Lord is, he says. But the amazing thing is that he says that he is my shepherd. So he is not like the fool who says, oh, there is no God. He says, no, there is God. The Lord is. But the even more amazing thing is when God becomes personal to us, the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord was or the Lord shall be, but the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say, I hope or I think, maybe. I'm hoping that this will happen. And maybe that is your situation right now. Maybe you are saying, if I directly ask you a question, you would say, I'm hoping that God is my Lord. I think I am a Christian. You're not sure. There's some doubt about it. I hope you move on to see that the Lord is to be yours. So David here is speaking with confidence and assurance. The Lord is my shepherd. He knew that the Lord was his shepherd for one reason. He trusted the Lord as his shepherd. He had faith in this shepherd and had experienced God's salvation. He's trusting, he's depending on the shepherd. He's not a Sunday morning Christian. He's not just a Sunday Christian. He has been a believer every day of his life. He's trusting, he's depending, not just when things go bad, but all the time. And as the Gospels tell us of our Lord Jesus Christ, is that good shepherd for our souls. And as sheep who are trusting and depending on the shepherd, then this poor sinner is trusting in the Lord. David is a poor sinner who trusts in the Lord. So David knew from personal experience how close the shepherd and the sheep relationship was. He knew that the shepherd was intimately involved with every area of the sheep's life. The shepherd lived with the sheep. He knew them by name. They were accustomed to his voice and his presence. They willingly followed him wherever he led them. They were not fearful of the shepherd. You see, there are religions that say to us, God is so far away from you. He's at a distance. He's an abstract idea. And you have to fear him in the sense that like a slave fears the master. And is your enemy. Well, my friends, this God who is holy, this God who is a great judge, yes, he is the enemy of sin and sinners, but he has found a cure. He has made a cure so that he might be our friend and our Savior too, as we were singing. And so those who have applied the cure of God to their own souls, they are now willingly following him wherever he leads them. Wherever, they are trusting in him that he will supply every need that they have. So David here takes this relationship and applies to that which he enjoyed with the Lord. My friends, Jesus Christ is the one who is referred to here. He's the spiritual shepherd. He's the shepherd of Christians. He's the shepherd of believers. Friends, people don't know him. They are not aware that there is a shepherd in general. When a person is born into this world, they don't naturally know about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to come and reveal himself powerfully by his Holy Spirit to you and to me. We wouldn't know him by simply being born in this world. That's why we need the Bible. There is this relationship which will set us radically on a different path to the one that we are going. And I wonder if God has derailed you. Maybe that is something that has happened in your life. Right now you're going through your life and you just wonder, why has God done this to my life? Maybe he has derailed you so that you might seek him to show you that you've been going your own way. You thought you are going his way, but you've been going your own way. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, he did label himself as the good shepherd. In John 10, you can read about this, verses 1 through to 15. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 that he gave his very life for the sheep. That's how much he loves his sheep. That's how much he loves his people. Why? Because he loves his sheep and he gives his life for them. And he knows every one of them by name. So, may we, each one of us, know him as our shepherd. The question is, do I know him? Do you know him? Have you heard God speaking to your heart, to your conscience? Sometimes it is that he makes it very hard for you and you get very convicted about your sin. Sometimes he emphasizes his love to you and how much he has loved souls of men and women who have sinned against him. Sometimes he brings you, because he loves you, to a point of a dead end. And you say, this is the way you have been going. Turn to me. Sometimes he takes away all of the props in your life and removes the hope that you had in yourself and other people. You know, in the past, well, it's always been the case. It's not just the last 2 years, but people easily trust in other people and trust for their safety in other people and things and governments and institutions and even churches. And then they are let down. Our families let us down. Our friends let us down. God brings us to those places and shows you people are temporary. Their wisdom is temporary. They're very limited. But God is most wise. So there are many people right now coming back again and to that stability of the Word of God. They come back now to the God who has always been. You see, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's always the same. He's trustworthy. Oh, that we would call him my shepherd today. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, promises believers, promises Christians, true Christians, many things. He promises that he does everything for our souls. He provides for our souls. He sends us his word. He sends us his promises. He daily loads us with benefits. See, every morning there are new mercies, new graces. He gives us sufficient grace for each day. And at times you think, how can I face this day? And yet God provides for you, helps you. You get through weeks and you thought, how can I get through this week? And somehow you did by God's grace. there's a need, there's a gap, there's a dryness in our hearts naturally, and only Jesus Christ will fill that. And as I said earlier, there are people who are just wandering to places and going to people and following opinions which leads them to nowhere and to dead ends. But sadly, for some people, they're just spinning their wheels. They are just carrying on in the same way. Again, they think, oh, this other new thing, new movement, new book that I read, new leader that I listen to will help me. But my friends, that has not helped you before. There is only one good shepherd. There are other, the Bible calls them hirelings. There are people who pretend to be shepherds. Don't follow them. If you don't follow Jesus Christ, you're following somebody. The Lord spoke about the blind leaders of the blind. Don't follow them. Don't follow people who also need Jesus Christ. The Lord God, through Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, provides and satisfies our souls. That's why the psalmist is so confident. The good shepherd, you see, takes his sheep into places where they can feed on the best food, best grass. He causes them to rest from their travels and find refreshment and peace beside calm pools, the still waters. In other words, that David is saying that those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ are well tended to and have all their needs met from the shepherd of their souls. He promises to show them the way to life and directs them in the right way. Wherever his path leads, it leads us through green fields. As verse 2 says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. Or even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. He is always leading. Leading in the best of paths all the time. It's his path. And yet when you are without Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, then who is leading you? Where are you going? There is fear of death. There is the fear of unknown. There's a fear of punishment. There's a guilt and fear of God's wrath. But when you know that what God says, I will smite the shepherd. Do you know that? That's some passage in the Bible. The Lord says that he's going to smite this good shepherd. Why? So that he might die instead of us. Jesus was smitten by God the Father, not by the cruel hands of men, but his wrath was poured on Jesus Christ so that we might be forgiven. That's the message of the gospel. And so then we poor, weak sheep can have assurance in Jesus Christ and know that he is going to lead us in the right way. You see, when a person dies for us, we can trust in them. Trust of the fact that their faith and their love was authentic. They were just not people who said things, I'll be there for you. He promises us his presence too. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and so on. All of these things saying to you, the shepherd is near. His presence is there with you. The presence of the shepherd, good shepherd, with his sheep is a theme which this psalm is about. You see, naturally, we are far from God when we are born. But when Jesus saves us, then we are made near to God. We are with him. And so to hear these things, what we read here of his presence and his leading. And when we go through the dark times and those valleys, the Lord is there with us, working in us. It says in verse 5, it says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. These are the things the Lord is doing in us and for us. Why is it that people walk alone spiritually? Without God's presence, so far away. Why is that? He promises us protection. David mentions the implements of the shepherd's protection. The rod and the staff, it says. Each of these tools had a very specific purpose in the life of the sheep. The staff was, as you know, a long pole with a hook near the end of it. And with this implement, the shepherd would correct the sheep, drive them in a different way. He would prod them and lead them in the right way. When the sheep are wandering off, when the sheep is going to fall into a ditch or fall off a cliff, that's for the protection of the sheep. It draws them by these things so that we may not fall. The rod was shorter than the staff and was used by the shepherd to protect the sheep from anything that might try to attack the sheep. My friends, the soul of sinners is unprotected. We are all, if we are not Christ, we are in danger of to be lost forever. We are in danger of hardening of heart, and we are in danger of dying without a shepherd. So we must know this shepherd. Jehovah Ra'a, the Lord is my shepherd. What will you do without him? The Christian would say, I don't know what I would do without him. But what would you do without him? Do you know the shepherd? The second thing is this. From verse 5. It speaks about the shepherd's food and protection. We're building up on what we have already said. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Here the scene has changed from a shepherd and his sheep to a host and his guests. And so David is telling us that even while moving through the territory of the enemy, and this world is the territory of the enemy of our souls, the Lord takes the time to treat his people, his sheep, like the honored guest. And so this is seen in a couple of ways. One way is that there's a table that he sets before the enemies. And there are enemies all around, but yet the shepherd sets that table. You see, usually a soldier in enemy territory would be forced to, as it were, gulp down a hasty meal as best as he could while he is cowering in fear of being discovered or captured or killed. You are not at ease when you are in enemy's land, when you are in a war. But the Lord spreads the table for his children right in the middle of the enemy's territory. And all the enemy can do is to watch us as we feast on the blessings of the Lord. And my friends, that is maybe why some of you, if you're not a Christian, you wonder, why are these people, these Christians, they take one day in seven, instead of going and enjoying themselves, in your mind, they take one day in seven, and they go to church, they read their Bibles, they are singing, and all of these other things. Isn't that very restrictive? And the Christian says, no, it is not. It's the joy of my heart. I'm so glad to do this. It's not a burden for my soul. God has set me free. I think about the way I used to sit in front of TV. I remember in the 90s and watch TV all on the Lord's days. I didn't know such a thing as a Lord's day. What a boring day it was. And I just wished it was Monday. Going to school was a better thing for me than spending the day doing nothing or going just walking about in various places and playing games and so on. But now, it's a very busy day. It's a hard day in one sense, the busiest day of the week, and yet it is a joyful day of coming before God and praising Him and to hear His word for myself too, and to hear Him say, this is the way, this is where I want you to walk, this is what I have done for your soul, this is what I'm planning to do for you. What a wonderful thing it is. I hope you see it that way too. But another way is this, that not only he sets a table before our enemies for us, but the sheep are marked and the sheep are anointed. You see, when the guests visited a home, they were often anointed with oil to show them how much they meant to their host. It was considered as insult not to wash the feet and anoint the head of your guests. And people who are not marked by God and anointed by God never will enter into heaven. They don't have the passport, as it were. They don't have the mark of God's anointing of grace. And the scripture talks about on that final day, the Holy Spirit is the mark of the Christian, that we've been marked by him. Oh, friends, people talk about the mark of the beast and all of those kinds of things. What's the mark of the beast? It's not a vaccine, let me tell you that. It's not something like that. But it is something that marks the whole life of a person. The things he does, the things he thinks, the way he is. And his life is not a life of God. It's a life that is lived for self. It's the life that is lived for this world. And so the mark is in the head where he's thinking, where he's seeing. The mark is in the hands where he's working. His life is the mark that he's not serving God. Obviously, I'm being very simple here. But have you received this anointing of God? Being marked by the Lord. But also another thing is this, that the shepherd fills our soul. David tells us that the Lord's blessing in this life are so great that he has more than he can handle. It's not just that he would... The Lord is not like me, who, when the children ask, can I have some dessert? And I'll cut it all up for them and give them a little piece. No, no. The Lord fills our cup. It runs over, the scripture says. We have more than what we would need. He answers us in a way far beyond our imagination. His cup has passed full and has run over. It spills out of the cup. That's the love of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. The love of Jesus Christ, his mercy, runs over our lives. His peace for us fills us with hope for heaven. He covers every sin with his blood and he forgives us. Do you know the shepherd? And finally, thirdly, verse 6. It speaks about the life of the sheep. The life of the sheep. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The scene changes again. Now David is wanting us to see a different picture. He pictures himself as a pilgrim headed to a city. And so this verse tells us that he will do for us, what he will do for us along the way home, along the way to heaven. One of the things is that he provides them with his grace. The pilgrim is assured. He says, surely goodness and mercy. This is the grace of God. This pilgrim is assured that goodness and mercy will be his constant companion along the way to heaven, along the way home. These are the components of grace, this favor of God that we don't deserve. And so God is reminding us that as we travel, we will always be blessed with sufficient grace. My grace, the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Do you need grace for every day? I need grace for every day. And God gives the sufficient grace. We need to know that there is nothing in life that we can face that will be greater than God's ability to see us through it. You see, even death. Who can stop death happening? And yet, we have Jesus Christ with us. If you're a Christian, you will have Jesus Christ. You will not be alone. You may not be able to pray. You may forget all sorts of things. You're not thinking straight. Or a sudden thing happens. Your life is taken from you. Suddenly, in an accident or whatever. But the Lord will be with you. The Lord will help you, succor you. You see, we are following the one who plans and he knows the way we take. He also goes with us along the way to ensure a safe passage. I will come unto them and receive them unto myself, Jesus said. This is a violent world, a harsh world, a harsh land in which we live in. And it's a scary world. It's a fearful world. It's a very dark world. Things happen, news comes, one after another. And the headlines, if you read the headlines, it will scare you. You think that the world is coming to an end. But the Lord says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. I read about a Scottish preacher, his name is John McNeill, who told that during his childhood, he had to walk a long distance home every evening. You see, children in those days had to work outside. And so he would go off in the morning, do his work, and then at night he would be returning home. And he had to go through the woods where there were wild animals and robbers. And he used to get very scared. Some nights it was very dark. And he would imagine things. And he would always be worried. What if I'm captured? What if they take away my money? What if they take away the things that I have with me? And he said this. One night it was especially dark. But I was aware that something or someone was moving slowly and quietly toward me. I was sure it was a robber. When a voice called out, its eerie tone struck my heart with fear. I thought I was finished. Then came a second call. This time I could hear the voice saying, John, is that you? It was my father. He had known of my fear and had come out to meet me. You see, it was a word from John's father that brought peace to his fearful heart that night. What we fearful humans need is a word from our Father in heaven. A word from Him who is able to expel all our fears and eliminate all our worries. That's a great witness that the Christian must have to this world. The world fears, but the Christian only fears God. We have such a word before us this morning. The word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does away with all of our fears. Because sin has been dealt with. That was the greatest thing. But also the Lord promises these people His glory. David concludes this psalm with a precious reminder that his life, or this life that down here will end someday. He's not going to live in this world forever. But that those who know the Lord will move to a new realm to live for eternity. He's seeing the heavenly place where God is, and he's looking forward to a time when he will be in the presence of the Lord in heaven. That's the destiny of every child of God who's been born again of His Spirit. Well, do you know this shepherd? If you do, then I would invite you to look at your relationship with Him today. Is it all it should be? Is it all that it could be? If not, then what are you waiting for? If you will confess your shortcomings, your sins to Him, and are trusting only and wholly in Jesus Christ and His death and atonement of sin, He will restore your soul. He will restore the joy of your salvation, the Scripture says. But if you don't know this shepherd today, then I say to you, to tell him that you are lost. Tell him that you still are carrying with this load of sin and nothing else has helped. You've tried this way and that way. Your own ideas. My friends, your soul will be in want forever, in need forever without Jesus Christ. So say to him, O shepherd of my soul, O shepherd of those who are lost, I am lost. Find me, call me, save me from my deadly sin and guilt. The good shepherd died for his sheep. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ was all about. But he rose again. The good shepherd is not dead. He lives so that we may be saved. Amen.